If you open your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking at the first six verses of this fourth chapter as we continue on in our study of this book of 1 John. It's designed to give us information on how we have fellowship with God. This book is about walking close in a close relationship with God. It's not about necessarily being saved. It's how to walk in fellowship after you're saved. And so we're getting a series of teachings and instructions from the pen of the Apostle John as to how to do that. In chapter 4 we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." May we pray. Father, thank you for the word. We thank you for the wonderful information and data that you give to us as to what we can do to have close harmony and fellowship with you. And we realize, Lord, that part of having a close fellowship with you is that we must make judgments. And I pray tonight that your Spirit would guide us so that we would learn the lessons of this very important text of Scripture. And we'll thank thee for that. In Jesus' name, amen. When we were out west, I knew a bird watcher who literally would go on trips and travel all over to see birds. And this particular couple was very interested in spotting different kinds of birds, and they planned vacations to go to various spots where they thought they could see a particular type of bird. They took a good pair of binoculars. They would take a good field guide with them. They would get information from those that lived in the area. They would get information about the various sizes and colors and sounds and the type of habitat that they should look for if they were going to spot these birds. Now, these were serious bird watchers. And they would not think for one second of going into the field and just randomly looking for birds without some type of guidance or some type of binocular system to see them. They want to see things clearly. Now, what is so sad, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are some people who are more serious about birds than what they believe about God. In the last 50 years, there have been 1,100 religious leaders who have claimed to be Christ, the Savior of the world. Most of them have risen in Africa, India, and in the Orient. There is a gullibility among people when it comes to religious things that's bizarre. In fact, as we'll see tonight, it is absolutely satanic. One person will cite some Bible verse or part of a Bible verse and make some claim, and then people seem to follow him or believe him. Every now and then we'll hear someone that'll say, "Well, God told me to say this, God told me to do this," and they speak this in an auditorium filled with people, and they applaud as if it's an absolute fact that it was God who told them to say that or do that. For some reason, God's people have been susceptible to what Dr. A.T. Robertson said was the latest fads and spiritualistic humbuggery. But God does not want his people gullible. He wants them soundly grounded in the Word of God. It becomes very apparent when you read a text like John writes tonight that God wants his people to have some spiritual wits about them. And the reason why he wants to have them have some spiritual wits is there's another unseen force that's trying to deceive people and trying to keep them from grasping truth. So God wants his people sharp in what they understand, what they believe, what they know. He wants them discerning when it comes to their minds and their lives, because he expects us to use that spiritual discernment to test people who say things about God. That becomes our responsibility. He wants us to know the truth and study it to such a level that we can actually test people in what they're saying in the arena of religion. Now, there are two applications from this text which is before us tonight. The first one is your own private application. What I mean by that is this. You have a private, personal responsibility to make judgments. When people start talking about God, or start talking about the Bible, or they start talking about things of religion, you have a private responsibility to test what they're saying in view of what the truth is. And then there is what I would call a public responsibility as well. We have the same responsibility as a church to carefully listen to what a person is saying, to carefully listen to what they believe, to watch carefully, to protect the flock, to see to it that what the flock is learning is absolutely true. That is precisely what this section is all about. And one who has fellowship with God will be one who's moving in a mindset that's discerning and not gullible. And that's precisely what John wanted these believers to understand. So when he writes chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, what he says is, the believer who has real fellowship with God will be one who carefully analyzes and discerns what religious people say, because the believer who has fellowship with God realizes that there are many false people and religions out there in the world. Now, people who are in true fellowship with God are people who carefully analyze what is being said, especially when it comes to the Word of God, and especially when it comes to the things of God. We have said time and time again that people who are in tune, who are in real fellowship with God, are very serious about understanding the Word. I believe that with all my heart. People who walk close with the Lord really want to know the Word of God. This is so critical. It's vital to close intimacy with the Lord. Now, this text breaks down into two main commands that I want to show you. Command number one, I would call the command against gullibility. Notice what John writes in verse 1 of chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I have read some bizarre, funny stories about the gullibility of people in the course of just reading things. I read a story about a railroad worker in 1934 that filed a $100,000 damage lawsuit against the company because he claimed that he had been jolted off the train, and as a result of the fall, his legs had become paralyzed. And knowing that it was a false legal action, the company hired two detectives who opened a crystal-gazing parlor in his hometown because they knew this particular guy had a bent toward this kind of thing. And their advertisement that they took out in the paper read, "Home readings for shut-ins." And sooner or later, this guy contacted them, and he wanted them to read his fortune. So during the visit, these two detectives who had been hired for this very thing looked into a crystal ball, and they said, "We see a lawsuit, and we predict that you're going to win. But in order for you to win the lawsuit, what you must do is carry a log across a nearby railroad track at dawn the next morning, and then you must hop over on one foot and back on the other foot." And the man thought, well, if I'll win the lawsuit if I do that. What he didn't know is these detectives were there with a camera. And the next morning he got up and he went out there and he did that. They were hiding in the bushes and they took a movie of his performance. Now, that's a gullible individual. But that's not just true when it comes to guys working on a railroad. The Chicago Daily News gave a story of a speaker that was introduced as Dr. Myron Fox, who was given an ambiguous, high-sounding title to an audience. And it was said that he was going to speak to this highly group of educated doctors and mathematicians. He was going to discuss the mathematical game theory as applied to physical education. What they did not know is this was all an act. What had happened is a group of people decided to play a prank on the educators. And so what they did is they hired an actor who would go in and speak about nothing. He would just stand before them under the guise of being this highly intelligent individual, and they gave him this abstract theme, mathematical game theory as applied to physical education, and he went in there and he started citing numbers and parts of the body, and then some of the group said, you know, that was just too much of an intellectual presentation. It was pure nonsense of a presentation, and they had purposely done it. It was a hoax. There is a gullibility that's funny, but when it comes to the things of the Lord, it isn't funny. And what John wanted us to realize is just because someone says they're led by the Spirit doesn't mean they are led of the Spirit. Now, what you and I are up against is far more than can meet our eye, because as John brings out, we're up against the spirit world. God has his angels that are out there ministering, but so does Satan. And we may observe that the challenge is made to the believer. Notice how verse 1 begins, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." How do spirits work? Through people. You're not talking about spirits that are floating around in the air. You're talking about spirits that work through people. Now, the only group who's in a position to make a proper analysis to be able to see through false religion is one who is a believer. Because the unbeliever is under the blinding of Satan. The unbeliever cannot see the truth. They're blinded by Satan in a variety of ways and a variety of means. Now, just because a person claims that they have a supernatural insight from God, or just because a person claims they know the Bible and they're going to teach you what the Bible says, doesn't mean they actually do. And so John says, I want you to know, I don't want you to believe every spirit. And that verb, do not believe, is a negative prohibition with a present tense imperative. What that technical language means is this was action that was in progress and John wanted it stopped. And when John says, do not believe every spirit, we can understand him as saying, stop believing these religious nuts. Stop listening to them. Don't listen to what they're telling you. Don't believe what they're telling you. And apparently some within the church that John was aware of had a continual tendency to listen to religious people, even if they didn't know what they were talking about, even if they were way out in orbit. And John says, I'm demanding that this action be stopped. Now, there are a plethora of cults that exist in this world, and these cults are very dangerous. And they go out and they confuse people, and they're smooth at doing this. And they know how to just insert elements of truth. They're not truth, but they know how to choose bits and pieces of truth and filter that into their conversation. And we need this same type of command at our disposal today. Don't be gullible. Now, a true prophet of God who lived back in John's day was one who spoke by inspiration of the Spirit of God. And the gift of prophecy was one in which God supernaturally enabled his prophet to speak inspired truth. And in John's mind, one who professed to be a prophet was either empowered by God's spirit or he was empowered by a satanic demonic spirit. And according to John, there was no in between. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, there are false prophets who function as ravenous wolves. He said later in Matthew chapter 7, there will be many preachers on that day who will say, but Lord, Lord, look at all the things we did in your name. And the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You were workers of iniquity. Now, these were people who went around talking about Jesus. These were people who went around talking about the Lord, but they obviously did not have a right relationship with him. Now, in John's mind, there's no gray issue. A person who claimed to be a prophet back in this time either spoke by the Spirit of God or he spoke by a satanic spirit. And because of that, John could literally say, don't believe every spirit. A spirit may be God's spirit speaking to you, or it may be a satanic spirit speaking through you, and that spirit speaks through a person who claims to be a prophet of God. And what I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, is that demons speak through people. And they appear to be nice and kind people, and they appear to be religious people, but what they say doesn't line up with the Word of God. You can turn on a religious television show or a religious radio show, and you can listen to Satan speak. Dr. Robert Anderson used to say, because of the wild utterances of prophecy mongers, this world is filled with those who are of Satan. I am not a prophet, and there are none anymore on the earth. And today, we test everything in light of Scripture. That's how we know if a person's telling the truth of God, if what they say lines up with the Word of God. That's why we expound the Bible systematically. You won't find us here jumping around, because we want the whole counsel of God. We want to know why God put those verses here and why these next verses were here. And we go straight through the Bible. And that's how we can understand the Scriptures accurately. And then we can measure what people say about God and about His Word in light of the Scriptures. So don't believe anything anyone says just because they're holding a Bible in their hands or just because they're given a podium to speak from. You listen carefully to their doctrine. You listen carefully to what they're saying and see if it squares with the Word of God, because we're not to believe everything anybody says. And anything that I ever say to you, you check in light of the Word of God. Now, I always do my best to accurately handle Scripture and open up the Word of God in a way that's rightly divided. But the Bible is the authority. Man is not the authority. When a man takes a Bible and gets ready to speak, he either is doing it in a way that is right before the Lord or he's doing it in a way that is satanic. When Delwyn and Techi were here from Peru, staying at her home, he told me a story of a man that Mark and I actually met, and we could tell right away this guy was demonic. Just in the first few minutes of our meeting with this guy, we knew that there was something wrong with him. He told me that he had been invited to his home, and he said it was a Sunday after church, and he said the guy seemed to be real nice, and still he started talking about doctrine. And Delwyn said, I thought right away, this guy is warped. This guy is way out there. He doesn't know what he believes, and he's propagating it as if he knows what he believes. And so he said, I made a determination right then that I'm going to sever fellowship from this individual, because I did not want a relationship with somebody who was, frankly, from the team of Satan. That's exactly what John was saying here. You test the spirits. Don't believe them. Now, the second command is the command to test. He says that in verse 1, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now we've not only been commanded to not be gullible in the defensive, but we have been commanded to test in the offensive. And the word test is one that means put something to the test. Try something. Prove it. See if it is. See if it works. I used to, when we lived out west, love to go to the Equifest that they would have in various parts of the state. And usually every year in Idaho Falls, or Blackfoot, Idaho, they would have an Equifest in which it just dealt with all kinds of horse things. They had all kinds of types of horse clinics. They had all types of horse equipment, tack, saddles, bridles, just everything in the horse world. And this one particular Equifest I went to, there was a guy who was representing Logan Trailers, Logan Horse Trailers. Now, Logan Horse Trailers are made in Utah, and they're big selling trailers. They take all advertisements in all the horse magazines, and if you get a horse magazine, you'll see Logan Trailers. And I was talking with this guy, and this man made the statement to me, the reason why you ought to have a Logan Horse Trailer is because these are the only horse trailers that are galvanized and they won't rust. He said, these are trailers that will not rust. He said, that's why you should have a Logan. So I talked him over, got some brochures. Of course, I wasn't going to buy one anyway, but it was just interesting talking to him. So I'm driving home. I'm going south on I-15 toward Pocatello, Idaho. And I pull up behind a trailer, and the trailer is just rusted out in the backside. And I'm thinking, well, I wonder what kind of trailer that is. Well, it didn't have the brand name on the back side of the trailer, and I could see it kind of alongside the left side, so I decided to pass the trailer and see what kind it was, and it was a Logan. I had half a notion to turn my car around and go back there and have a discussion with that boy, but I didn't do it. But anyway, had someone just believed it at face value, had you not researched it, you could have been duped into believing something that was not true. They will rust. It's not totally rust-proof, even though the claim was that it was. Now, whenever someone comes and would say that they were a prophet of God, John wanted these men tested by the people in the church to prove whether or not they were telling the truth. The reason why he wanted this tested is because there are many false prophets who are out there in the world. Satan is working in the world. He's working in the arena of religion. And he works through people who are not of God, they're not right with God, and they need to be tested. And primarily, there are two main tests that we can run on people to determine whether or not they truly are from God. Both tests can be given to the same person. In fact, from what I read here, both tests are to be given to the same person if there's a suspicion that they are not in fact from God. And if they fail the first one, you can brand them as being the spirit of Antichrist. If they fail the second one, you can brand them as one who is a person of great error. Now, these people that we're to test may be your friends. These people may be your family members. They may be nice people. They may be people you know. They may be people you like, but they may be of the devil. If they're not sharing what's true in accordance with the Word of God, then regardless of what you think, regardless of how nice they are, how smooth they are not going to lead us into a closer walk with God or into a better understanding of the Word of God. They're going to pull us down. And as Paul would say, bad doctrine corrupts good morals. And so John wanted the believer to be able to test things, to see whether or not they were from God. So there are two tests he brings out. The first one is the Christological test. Notice verse 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Now, John Mitchell said, everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is God incarnate is of God. You can know whether or not God's Spirit is in someone, and you can know whether or not God's Spirit is working with an individual by what they say and think about Jesus Christ. And so the obvious conclusion is you must get them into a discussion about Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that this particular test can be put to every person. That's what it says. By this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses. So every person can be tested or checked in light of what they believe about Jesus Christ. Every person who claims they're in a right relationship with God, every church that claims it's right with God, they can be put to a test. It's the test of what they actually believe about Jesus Christ. And the test concerns Him. Now, depending upon what the people believe about Jesus Christ, that determines whether or not they are born again, whether or not they have the Spirit of God, or whether or not they're demonic. Now, I want you to carefully notice, ladies and gentlemen, something about this test. It doesn't say that you can tell them by their appearance. They may look smooth. They may look nice. They may look religious. They may look pious. You can't tell it by their appearance. You cannot tell it by their charisma. These people may appear to be nice and kind and likable, and they may be people that are very public-oriented, people-oriented. You can't tell it by that. What you can tell it by is testing them about what they say about Jesus Christ. And the test is simple. Every person who's willing to testify that Jesus Christ, who is the God-man, who has come in the flesh, in the full manifestation of God, is from God. Now, I don't want to just jump over those words, because we need to understand what they mean. That word confess, verse 2, every spirit that confesses is the Greek word homologeo, which means you say the same thing. You say identically what the scriptures say about the God-man Jesus Christ. So this is not just some shallow idea about whether or not you believe Jesus Christ really walked on the earth. That's not it at all. This is, you are testing a person as to who they think Jesus Christ is and to what they believe about Jesus Christ. Isaiah predicted that Jesus Christ would be a child who would be born, who would be God, Emmanuel, God with us. That was predicted, that there would come God in flesh, incarnate, into the world. Any person who's not willing to confess that about Jesus Christ is not of God. I do not care how nice they are, how religious they are, how successful they are. Mark them and mark them well. Every false teacher will ultimately deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They may say flattering things about him. He was a good person. Boy, he did some spectacular things. He was a good prophet. He was an interesting Jew. They may talk nicely about him. They may compliment him. What a wonderful example he was for us to follow. But they will deny his deity. H.A. Ironside said, this is a simple test. It's a test that we can run on anyone. They either say the same thing about Jesus Christ that the Scripture says, or they don't. It's a relatively easy test to give. It's a quick test to give. Just ask the person what they believe, what he believes, what she believes about Jesus Christ. If the doctrine is true, if they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, if they believe that the God-man and faith in him is the only way to be right with God, then you can pretty much assume they're of God. However, if the doctrine is false, if they start tampering a little bit with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, it's faith in Christ, but you got to live a good life. Then they're not really acknowledging who Jesus Christ is. They're not saying the same thing about Jesus Christ that the Scripture says. And those people are the spirit of the Antichrist. You see, if they're not for God and true doctrine, they're against God and against Christ. And they're the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is coming. There will be an individual coming who's called the Antichrist. We're going to study about him in our study on Sunday mornings in Daniel. We'll see a lot about the coming Antichrist. But this is the spirit of Antichrist that's already at work. These smooth, polished religious shysters who know how to con people and they know how to talk persuasively, but they do not have truth pertaining to Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of Antichrist. So one of the fastest ways to determine, am I talking to one who's true or not, is to get them to discuss for you their theology pertaining to Jesus Christ. Ask them, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Do you believe he's the only way to a relationship with God? Do you believe he's the second member of the Trinity? Do you believe he's the God-man? Do you believe that only his work can save us? Or do you believe your work can save you? It seems to me that these are the tests we ought to be running today, because this is the test John admonishes us to give. Now, the second test that he says, there's another one you give. Not just the Christological test, but it's what I would call the hearing test. The hearing test. Notice verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who's not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, John says, there is another test we can give to an individual to see whether or not they're right with God. This test maybe takes a little longer to give it, but it's just as powerful when you give it. And it really boils down to this. How do they respond to the Word of God when we're presenting accurately to them the Word of God? John said, I can tell whether or not a person is really of God by how they respond to the Word. John said, if they listen to us, and of course he's referring to the fact that he was an apostle writing inspired Scripture. If they listen to us, then we can pretty much assume they, in fact, are in a right relationship with God. If the person agrees to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, Then John says, listens to us who know Jesus Christ and who are revealing things about Jesus Christ. We can accept this person as being in the family of God. If, on the other hand, we notice that they seem to have a big hearing in the world, and they seem to have a huge following from the world, and the world listens to them and they draw in masses of people, but they're not willing to submit themselves to the authority of the Word of God or to the authority of Jesus Christ. They are not from God. Dr. J. Vernon McGee used to say, I do not care whether several thousand people are going to hear somebody. If they are not willing to sit under the authority of the Word of God, then it doesn't matter. They are the spirit of Antichrist. Now, this is how this practically works. Someone comes into the fellowship, and they claim they're a person of God. So we listen to them, and we examine them first concerning their Christology. They're talking about how they believe in the Lord, and they're in a relationship with God. So we get them into a discussion. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you believe saves you? What do you think about the Lord? Who do you think He is? If they pass that test, and they're propagating some theology, we give them another test. We watch them. And we see how they respond to the truth of God, to see whether or not they are willing to listen to us. Now, you may think this is just a nice talk for a Sunday night, but I'll tell you what, we take this real seriously in this church. Probably more seriously than most people realize, because we watch what goes on in this church. We keep our eyes open, and we look for things. Especially in any instance where there's an opposition to what's sound and true. And we try to make an analysis. If someone is saying something that's just off the wall and they don't really know what they believe, we try to make an analysis. Are they ignorant? Then we need to give them time to learn. If they're confused, we need to give them time to be straightened out. However, if they become a blatant rejecter of truth, we don't tolerate it for a second. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, that is a satanic spirit that's at work. And if a person is willing to come under the teaching of the Word of God, if they're willing to listen to the Word of God and listen to those who know the Word of God and the doctrines of God, then we pretty much can determine that person is right with the Lord. If, on the other hand, they come into the church and they're not willing to listen to the Word of God, they seem to have no appetite at all for the Scriptures, they don't want to understand the Scriptures in a way that is properly divided, they don't want to have a heart at all that wants to know the Word of God, then we keep our eyes open and we watch what's going on and what they're involved in. There's a wonderful device called a Geiger counter. It'll tell you whether or not there's real uranium in the rocks or the soil. The Bible is the Geiger counter, and it'll tell you whether or not there's real faith in someone's soul. When I was studying back in school a number of years ago, at the time that I first met John Miles, he had been studying doctrine for over 40 years. Now think of that. Over 40 years he's been studying doctrine. And we would listen to him and we would just want to get to the class that he was teaching, and we wanted to sit in that class and we wanted to learn everything that he had to give to us. But every now and then you'd get some oddball who knew nothing that would show up, and frankly they wanted to postulate their stupidity. And when you would see that kind of thing, you would begin to think, this can't possibly be of God. Here's a man who's walked with God, who knows the Word, who's teaching the Word, and here you've got somebody that doesn't have a clue as to what the Word is even talking about, and they want to postulate their ideas. You see, they wouldn't pass this hearing test. So here's the way this thing works. Somebody comes into the fellowship. Their Christology is not true. They're the spirit of Antichrist. Somebody comes into the fellowship whose Christology appears to be true. They perhaps are right with God. They need to be put to a further test. We watch. We see. How do they respond to the Word of God? If someone comes into the fellowship whose Christology appears to be true, but they only are listened to by people of the world, they're not interested in learning. They're not interested in studying. They're not interested in growing. They're not true. Someone comes into the fellowship whose Christology appears to be true, but they won't listen to those who know truth. Then we start watching carefully and say, boy, we've got to be careful here, and so do you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't just truth given to the church, it's given to every one of the beloved. And what I'm saying here tonight, and what John was saying, is that if you are a child of God who walks in close fellowship with the Lord, you have responsibilities to make judgment calls in your own life. And you test people. especially when they start talking about things that pertain to God. Now, we're not talking about issues here as to what's the best groceries to buy or how do I hunt or how do I pick a car. We're not talking about discussions like that. John's talking about discussions in the arena of theology. And when you're with someone and they begin talking things about God, you test them to see where they're at in their relationship with God. And you might say, my goodness, I'm so confused. What chance do I have? I'm no scholar. I'm not a theologian. I don't know any of the nuances of the things that I should know in the technicalities of theology. What chance do I have? That's the marvelous verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He who's in you than he who is in the world. You are from God. And you can know this, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. You'll never be overcome by these deceptive shysters. If you are continually in the Word, and you are continually growing in the Word and learning, you have God's Spirit in you, and that Spirit will come to life through you. And you'll never be duped, you'll never be deceived, because that Spirit that's in you is God's Spirit, and that Spirit is greater than the devil could ever be. But this is a challenge for us not to be gullible, but don't sweat it either. The truth of the matter is you have God on your side, and if God before you, who can be against you? And I personally believe that that verse guarantees that the elect cannot be permanently deceived. I believe that that verse guarantees that those who do love the Lord will be able to, in time, see through things. But those that walk in close fellowship with God have a responsibility to analyze what people are saying in light of Scripture. And that's what John taught to those believers in John 4. May we pray. Now, we would not want to conclude this tonight without asking this important question that comes right out of this text. What is it that you believe about Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the one who can save you from your sins? Do you believe that He came into this world, He died on a cross, and He rose the third day as proof of your justification? If you believe that, you are saved. Father, thank You for the precious Word of God. Thank You that we have a Word that enables us to see how we can test those that are religious, who sometimes profess that they have a relationship with You, but they do not possess it. I pray, Lord, that You would give us all wisdom as we go through the week. I pray that we would have discerning minds when it comes to spiritual matters. I pray we'd be careful to what we listen to and who we listen to. And I pray, God, You'd give us a week of spiritual victory. We thank You for this wonderful day we've enjoyed together in the Lord. And for anything that's been accomplished today, we thank You and praise You. It's Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.